I am Daniel Foley from the Abundant Life Training Center, and welcome to our weekly yearly cycle updates, where today we're going to be talking about blessing your spouse. So we're in this time of the year right now. We're in the 40 days of Teshuvah, as we're entering into the late summer, going into the fall. This is a time of year. Teshuvah means to turn or to repent. So basically to make some adjustments. And one of the areas that's most important that affects our lives on a daily basis, if you're married, is blessing your spouse, making some adjustments in our marriage. We're going to be talking about some adjustments that we can begin to make. And then we're going to be taking communion over this, asking for God's help to help us truly be a blessing to our spouse. But we're going to get started with prayer, and then we'll dive into this a little bit more on blessing our spouse. So we're going to pray a prayer from Ephesians chapter 3. This is the prayer the Apostle Paul prays for the Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 3, starting in verse 16. So Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this day. Just ask you to bless our time here together. We thank you for releasing us from the darkness, transferring us into the light. And we just pray that out of your glorious riches, you would strengthen us with your power through your Spirit in our inner beings, so that Christ would dwell in our hearts through faith. And we pray that we would be rooted and established in love. We would have the power, together with all the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that we would be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who's able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. So let's talk about this idea of blessing your spouse. We got 8 things that we're going to go through here in just a second. So this 40 days of Teshuvah, it's a time to repent, time to make adjustments. If you see anything in here to work on, we're going to be taking communion over this. This is an area we can bring to God. Say, God, forgive me in this. I need your help. And pray this bold but also humble prayer at the same time. That says, God, on my own, I might have a hard time doing this. We were once talking about this in one of our Zoom calls in the Abundant Life Blueprint. And pretty much everybody on there came to the conclusion, it's very hard, nearly impossible to do what we're about to talk about in our own strength. It requires God's grace and love to flow through us. For marriages to be thriving requires grace flowing. Two opposite people living together, trying to get along, trying to be a blessing together. That's enough for a comedy show right there. But it's through God's grace that we can come together and truly be a blessing to each other. Let's take a look at these 8 things. Number 1, be more present. You can be sitting right next to somebody, but be in 2 different worlds. You can be sitting right next to somebody, but be in 2 different worlds because you're thinking about all you've got going on in your world. So to be more present, as we get more present in our relationships, all of a sudden, we start to see areas that we can be a blessing. We see ways that we could step in and be helpful, see ways that we can step in and notice the things that people are doing around us, because we get off in our own world sometimes. So number 1, just getting more present. And I like to think of my indicator of presence is joy. In God's presence, there's fullness of joy. So getting more present in our relationships. When you are spending time with your spouse, where's your mind? Are you living in the past, thinking about things that happened that day? Are you living in the future, thinking about all that you have to do, all the things that are still on your plate, all these things? Or are you just simply getting more present with them? Just simply getting more present with them. Next one. And before I go too far, let me think about this too. Being more present means that the thing, sometimes our spouses know how to push our buttons, get under our skin better than anybody. Because you're around them all the time. They know you better than anybody. And part of being more present is seeing them through the eyes of grace in the present moment, which means I have to let the things go maybe something I've been hanging on to, a grudge I've been holding, whatever it is. I have to let those things go. And there's a trap we have to watch out for in marriage of we're hanging on to things that our spouse did to us. We have to let those things go, get into the present moment. And husbands, you might find the tendency to want to withdraw your presence, maybe give the silent treatment, go into the other room, not talk about it. Wives, your tendency is typically to shut down, especially physically and intimately. And then it feeds this vicious cycle that the more the one does, the more the man withdraws his presence, the more the woman shuts down, the more he withdraws his presence even more. And it just feeds this vicious cycle. But you can be the one that breaks that cycle. It's not going to happen instantly, but if you're the one who does continually good all the time, you just see your spouse through the eyes of grace. It makes a tremendous difference. It can break that cycle and begin to build this virtuous cycle where things just get better and better. Next thing is called catching bids. So Gary Thomas has a book called Cherish. It's a great book on marriage. He talks about one of the most important aspects of a good marriage is what he calls catching bids. So a bid is anytime your spouse tries to connect with you. Maybe they try to give you a hug or a kiss. They try to have a conversation with you. They want to go for a walk. They want to play a game. They want you to help them with something. Anytime they throw a bid your way to try to connect with them, that's a bid. He says the best marriages, and they've done studies on this, catch about 80 to 90% of every bid that comes their way. It means every time your spouse tries to connect with you, you stop what you're doing, you give them your presence, and you connect with them in whatever way that is. And remember, in all connection, you're either trying to connect or you're trying to get away. So catching those bids are very important, because when you don't catch those bids, what are you doing? You're dishonoring them. You're dishonoring your spouse when they attempt to connect with you and you're too busy. You have something else to do. That means you're prioritizing something else over your spouse. And you're dishonoring them in their attempt to connect with you. Now, it's also important to give bids in the style that your spouse likes to have the bids thrown their way, in the style that they like to connect. Often, we try to connect with our spouse in the way that we want to connect. And to truly bless our spouse, we have to give bids their way, to offer attempts to connect with them in the way that makes them feel honored, the way that makes them feel valued, the way that they like to connect. For example, some people might like to connect through physical touch. Some might like quality time. Some might like acts of service, these five love languages. What makes your spouse feel cherished, honored, valued, appreciated? And giving bids in their style each day. Focus on every day. Just throw in at least one bid their way that is in their style. You would love that if their spouse did that for you. And then looking ahead into their day. As you get more present, you're more aware, and you begin to step into their day. This is like stepping into their shoes. It's somewhat empathy. It's compassion. How could you step into their day and look ahead and see areas where maybe you could make some provision for them? You could be helpful for them to do something that would be a blessing for them, to solve a problem before it even got there. For example, you could look ahead into your spouse's day and see they got a busy day. Maybe pack them a lunch, do something extra, leave a nice note for them. Clean up the house before they get home. How could you look ahead into their day and do something that is a blessing? And in all of these things, it's important what you do, but also the attitude in which you do it is just as important, maybe more important, because God loves a cheerful giver. Your spouse also loves a cheerful giver. If you're throwing bids your way, but you really don't want to, throwing bids their way, but you really don't want to, it's not the same as if you do it cheerfully and joyfully. And then encouraging and praising. Often it's easy to get focused on all the things they're doing wrong, be critical of them. But every day, make it a goal to be the one who's a fountain. You're either a fountain or a drain. You're either giving life or you're sucking the life out of them. How could you encourage and praise them daily for things that they are doing well? That requires being more present again. seeing what they're doing well each day, focusing on the light, and valuing and appreciating their contributions. What are they doing? What contributions are they adding? And it might be just a little bit. Maybe you're doing way more than them. But also keep in mind, we also all overestimate our own contributions in relationship to others, because we see all the things that we're doing, but not all the things that they are doing. So how could you begin to value and appreciate their contributions? Again, that requires being more present. Being more present, seeing all the things that they're doing. Then changing your expectations. This is a hard one. Changing your expectations, where you function in life according to this verse right here. God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all times, in all things, you can abound to every good work. You are not relying or expecting on your spouse to be the one who fulfills things for you. You're relying on God flowing through you to make things happen. What if you function in life like you are not expecting anything from your spouse? Anything you got from them was truly a gift and you're grateful for it. You expect nothing from them. Your only goal is to be a blessing to them. Now we're not needy. Now your expectations never get frustrated. Often we get frustrated because our expectations of what people should be doing don't get met. And our expectations get frustrated. And we live this frustrated life that makes us want to withdraw, not be more present, focus on all the things they're doing wrong, all these types of things. Changing your expectations. Function like you need nothing from them. If it was up to you, you could do everything that was needed in your household without expecting one thing from them. And then any contribution they get, any praise they give you, anything nice that they do, any bids they throw your way is just extra. And you're grateful for anything extra that they do now. That's truly a shift in our mindset for many of us. I know I had to work, and I'm still working to get to that place. Now, let's look at this question. Number 7, how would you like to be married to you? Ask yourself this question. How would you like to be married to you? Whatever negatives you see as we take communion, bring those to God. Ask for his help turning those things around. How would you like to be married to you? Whatever negatives you see, bring it to God. Ask for his help turning those things around. And then finally, we got to have some grace. Saying you're sorry. Even if you don't feel like you are the one who missed it, be the one who humbles yourself and just says you're sorry. If you feel like you missed it at all, there's any strife whatsoever, just humble yourself. Place a high priority on getting it right. Just humble yourself saying you're sorry. So take a look through these 8 things. And we're going to take communion over this. Just making a commitment that from this day forward, we're not going to have it all perfect, but we're going to grow stronger and stronger in these things. So every time we take communion, it's just an opportunity for us to meditate on God's steadfast love, that nothing is impossible for him, but also to receive promises from him. You know, he was willing to send his one and only son to die for us. That's how much he loved us. If he would do that, how would he not freely give us all things, including help in our relationships? So, Father, we just thank you for this bread. We ask you to bless it in Jesus' name. We just thank you that on the night Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread. He said, "This is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And he said, "Take it. Receive it. Receive that his sacrifice makes you right with God and holy and perfect and righteous. But also that you now have God's help." Father, we're asking for your help for us to grow more and more in these things. And just receiving that from him today. If you have your bread, you can take your bread. So then after supper, Jesus took the cup. He said, "This is the cup of the new covenant in my blood, poured out for the forgiveness of sins for many." It's that forgiveness of sins that brings us into the light, releasing some things. Ways that people have wronged you, releasing, letting go. Anything, maybe you're holding against your spouse, any of these types of things. Just letting it go. Just like God has done for us. And we can have this new covenant. We can grow in our knowledge of Him. Father, we just thank you for this cup. We ask you to bless it in Jesus' name. If you have your juice, you can take your juice. All right, so now it's simply about walking it out. When you look at this list, what do you know to do? Take the first step and then trust that God's going to begin to equip you and to empower you to walk in this at a higher level. It's going to continue to grow from this point on. But I hope this has been helpful for you. If you'd like to learn more about partnering with us in the Abundant Life Blueprint, you can go to the AbundantLifeTrainingCenter.com.